So we're beginning Masechta Pesachim now. Masechta is actually called Pesachim in the plural, Tosfos Yom Tov says, because you have Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. The Masechta is actually, it kind of actually neatly divides into two parts, which the Rishonim called Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, not specifically about what we think of those terms. We're going to learn about Pesach Sheni in the ninth parak of the Masechta, Be'ezras Hashem, but half of the Masechta deals with the dinim of Pesach as we keep them in all times and all places, including nowadays, namely the first four parakim. The first parak talks about bedikas chametz, about bedikas and biur chametz. The second parak continues on that and then talks about dinim of matzah and maror. The third parak talks about dinim of what is and isn't chametz and taruvas chametz and such things. The fourth parak deals with the dinim of Erev Pesach as far as doing malacha and other things related to that. And then the 10th parak talks about the Seder. Then you have in between the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th parak all talk about the Korban Pesach, which we don't have nowadays, unfortunately. The Rambam also, by the way, splits them up. The Rambam puts the material from the first four parakim in the 10th parak into Hilchos Chametz Matzah, and then the material in Sefer Zmanim, and then the material from the other five parakim he puts in Hilchos Korban Pesach and Sefer Korbanos. So for that reason, actually, in the times of the Rishonim, they used to actually learn them. They used to actually divide it into separate Masechtas and learn them separately, and they nicknamed them Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So Pesach Rishon was the part that's applicable nowadays, the first four parakim in the 10th parak, and Pesach Sheni was all of the rest, the 5th through 9th parakim. We'll actually see as we go through the Masechta, we'll see that division actually left its mark in the actual layout of the Daffin, because when we get to the end of the 4th parak, and when we get to the end of the 9th parak, there's a large space on the page that's filled up with Seder V'Hilchos Korban Pesach Rishon and Seder V'Hilchos Korban Pesach Sheni, because in earlier prints of the Gemara, in the original prints of the Gemara in the 1500s, they actually left those blank because they wanted to start the new section of the Masechta on a new Amud. So eventually those got filled in with the dinim of Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. But that harks back to this, that the way they used to do it in the times of the Rishonim, where the middle parakim, the 5th through 9th parakim, were learned separately. Because basically those parakim are more like Seder Kodshim than they are like Seder Moed, in that they deal with the Korban Pesach. So with that, let's get into the Masechta. The Mishnah begins, Urla Arba Aser, on the Ur of the 14th, and we're going to see in the Gemara two possibilities. We're going to see in the Gemara a discussion what Ur means. Does it mean the night before, or does it mean the day of? So that's the first thing we're going to get to in the Gemara. So the Ur of the 14th of Nisan, Bodkenes HaChametz La'ur HaNer, you have to search for chametz by the light of a candle. The light of a candle, we'll see in the Gemara why, Dafka. As far as the searching, so here you have a big discussion. What is the purpose of the searching? Ultimately, we know after we do bedikas chametz, the next morning we're going to be right then after the bedikah, actually, we're mevatel any chametz that we have. The next morning, when it comes to biur chametz, we're also mevatel the chametz that we have. Once you mevatel the chametz, then it's not yours anymore. You're not oiv on it. So why do you need to do a bedikah in the first place? So Rashi just says, Shalo yaber ola b'valya roa b'valya matzah. This way, you're not over by doing bedikah, you're accomplishing that you're not going to be over on the mitzvahs in the Torah that you can't see or have. Good morning, Ellie. That you can't see, that you can't, there can't be seen or be found chametz in your possession. Meaning, in other words, in effect, Rashi is saying, if you don't do that, then the chametz that remains by you is still going to be subject to b'valya roa b'valya matzah. Tosfos asks on that, what are you talking about? The fact is, you're going to be doing bittul. Midaraisa bittul is enough. So why should you need bedikah at all? So Tosfos instead gives a different reason. The problem is that if you don't do bedikas chametz and remove any chametz that's in your possession, you might come to eat it during Pesach. Not, in other words, like Rashi says, because you might be over, but because you might, on bal yiroa, bal yimotzah, but because you might eat it, which is an isur kores. Why are we more concerned about chametz? Tosfos says because you're allowed to eat chametz all year round. It's only also during the 7 days of Pesach, or 8 days outside Chutz Laaretz. So therefore, there's more of a concern that people are going to eat it. So part of the discussion surrounding this Rashi and Tosfos gets into the question, let's say, for example, you were mevatel it, but afterwards you took possession of it again. Let's say you decided, you know what, I want to cancel my bittul. Would that actually be effective? according to Tosfos, apparently, according to Tosfos, Achronim discussed this. Rishonim and Achronim, there's a huge discussion about all the pros and cons of this, and we'll talk in a second about what the Ran says. But one way of looking at it is, yeah, once he was mevatel it, then he's not able to reacquire it. But practically speaking, he might eat it if he eats it. Even if you eat chametz, even if it doesn't belong to you, you're still over on kikol oichol machmetzes, right? So he wouldn't be over on bal yiroa bal yimotze once he was mevatel it. On the other hand, Rashi might be taking the view that even once he was mevatel it, he's still able to reacquire it. And if we'd be over also on the mitzvah that the Torah tells us you're not allowed to have chometz cannot be seen and cannot be found in your possession, and now it's back in his possession. So that is one of the discussions that they have about, in fact, about what Rashi and Tosfos might be arguing about over here about that point, is if you were mafkir, you mevatel your chometz, and then you try to reacquire it, is that effective or not? The Ran brings in a couple of other points. One of them is, he says, maybe in fact on a daraisa level, one or the other would be enough. Either you do bedikas chametz and you remove all the chametz from your possession, or you are mevatel the chametz that's in your possession, one or the other. In fact, the Ran says it's possible that our Mishnah was composed before the Chachamim made the Takana. Later on, the Gemara is going to tell us, ha-boidik tzarech shivatel. Even if you do bedikas chametz, that's not enough, because you might have left some chametz behind. You still need to be mevatel it as well. That Takana, says the Ran, one possibility, that might have only come up later in the times of the Gemara. In the times when the Mishnah was written, it might have still been that it's one or the other. Either you do bedikah or you do bittul. And therefore, our Mishnah is mentioning the concept of bedikah if you're not going to be doing bittul. But it's true, as Tosfos is saying, according to that, that maybe you could have done bittul alone. That's one possibility. Another point is, again, goes back to what Tosfos is saying about the fact is that you might eat it. And in particular, there's the idea that the Gemara is going to talk later on. The Gemara is going to mention a concept, Shema Yimtze Gluska Yofa. You might find a nice loaf of bread that you didn't remove when you did Bedikas Chametz, and you're going to forget that it's Pesach, and you're going to eat it, which is similar to what Tosfos is saying. Now, as I said, there's a lot of discussion about this among the Rishonim and among the Achronim. A lot of angles on this of why we need Bedikas Chametz. The Alter Rebbe, when it comes in Shulchan Aruch, brings two of these reasons. One is another one that the Ran mentions is that we can't rely only on Bittul, because the problem is Bittul ultimately is, it depends on your mental state. You have the words that we say on Erev Pesach, that we say after Bedikas and after Bir Chometz, Kol Chamir of a Chamir de Ikabir Shulsi Vigrema. But you got to actually mean it, that you actually mean that it should be Hefker Ka'afra Da'ara. If you don't mean it, then it's not effective. So the problem is, says the Ran, can we necessarily guarantee that the person is going to have the proper meaning in mind? Maybe he's just mouthing the words and not actually feeling it. So therefore, that's another reason why we need the bedikah as well. This way, you get rid of any potential chametz that might be around, and then if you have other chametz that you didn't find, then fine, then fine, you can be mevatel that. Then at least we can rely on that. But you have to at least make the effort to get rid of all of that. The Alter Rebbe brings that reason, as well as the reason that Tosfos mentions about that you eat chametz during the rest of the year, and therefore you may come to eat it during Pesach as well if you don't remove it. And therefore, so those are the two reasons why you need bedikas chametz. In fact, later on in other simonim, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say that the problem that you might eat it is really the more primary reason. The reason that the Ran is mentioning that you might not fully feel the bittul, okay, it's an important reason, but it's not the key reason. Because, for example, we're going to have cases, for example, where you have a hole in your wall that you can't reach all the way to the end of the wall. We say you're able to be mevatel the chametz there. You have a case where a wall collapses on top of chametz, and if it's buried to a certain depth, then you don't need to dig out the chametz. There you have the chametz is still in your possession, but the fact is you're not going to eat it because you're not going to be able to get it out of that hole in the wall or under that pile of rubble. And therefore, the reason that Tosfos is mentioning that you may come to eat it is not applicable, and therefore it's good enough, you can just be mevatel it over there rather than actually having to go and dig up the rubble and take it out.
Question.
Mechira comes in, one second. Mechira comes into play. We're going to actually talk about Mechira Schametz in the second Perek. We have to realize, actually, you know, nowadays we think of that as, you know, it's a standard thing we do every year. We arrange with the Rav that he goes and sells it to the Goy. In the times of the Gemara, they didn't have that yet. They had, on an ad hoc basis, you happen to have Chametz left over before Pesach, you can sell it to your friendly Goyish neighbor. But it wasn't a usual thing. The usual thing was that you would time it so that you use up your chametz as much as possible before Pesach, and then whatever's left you would find and you would burn. Yeah, Avraham Shavuot.
Can't you say just the other way around? The fact that you do Berikas chametz could cancel Bitul chametz.
How would doing Bidikas Chametz cancel the Bitul chametz? Just the opposite. You're looking for all the chametz that's in your possession. You're removing it. It, because you're showing that you don't want it anymore. Then on top of that, you do the bittul, then good. As opposed to if you were just to do the bittul by itself, then okay, I'm saying the words of bittul, but do I really have in mind that I want to get rid of all of my chametz and I want it to not be mine? Not necessarily.
No, I think that if you do bittul chametz and then afterwards you do bedikas chametz, it could mean that now you consider what was bittul to be chametz again.
So that goes back to the question. Okay, so if you do, well, you don't do the bittul chametz first, right? You do bedikas chametz first, and then you do the bittul of whatever you didn't find. But yeah, if you were to do the bittul first, fine. That would be subject to that machlokas we were just discussing about maybe what Rashi and Tosfos would hold. If you're mevatel it, are you able then to reacquire it? According to Rashi, maybe yes. According to Tosfos, maybe not. One other thing, by the way, in connection with Mechiras Chometz that you're mentioning, Mendel, worth mentioning, the Alter Rebbe stresses in Seder Mechiras Chometz that the Chometz that you're selling to the Goy is not included in your Bittul Chometz, because the whole point is you're trying to sell it to the Goy and it's out of your possession that way, which means that, in other words, the Alter Rebbe mentions, you have people who think that it doesn't matter. You know, you're selling it to you're selling it to the whatever you're selling to the goy. It doesn't matter even if the mechira is not valid on a daraisa level. At least you intend to get it out of your possession, and that's good enough. The Alter Rebbe stresses that not minat Torah. You're going to be over on bal yodo or bal yomotze if you don't make sure that the sale to the goy is completely valid al pi Torah, and therefore the Alter Rebbe goes into the discussion of there how exactly you structure the sale so that it should be valid al pi Torah. Because otherwise you think you sold it to the goy and you really didn't, and you're over on it. Yeah, another question, and then okay, but then we need to get into the Mishnah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Right. The bracha that you make at night is not Bedikas Chametz, but it's Bitul Chametz.
The bracha that we make is Al Biur Chametz. We're going to talk about it on Daf Zayin.
Biur Chametz.
Because the point is, the Bedika is not the end in itself. The purpose of the Bedika is to get rid of any Chametz that's in your possession. And like Rashi says of it to begin with, Rashi says over here, Shalo Yavar Olaba, Bal Yudal, Bal Yamatza. So there's no reason to make a bracha Al Bedikas Chametz, no more so than, let's say, you would make a bracha that to make tzitzis. Because the mitzvah is not to make tzitzis, the mitzvah is to wear them. The same way, the mitzvah is not so much to search for the Chametz. That's a necessary step in the process of Biur Chometz. And therefore, that's the bracha you make. But we'll discuss the nusach of the bracha on Daf Zayin, that's the shem. Okay, so let's go on. The Mishnah continues. Kol makam she'en machnisin bei chometz ein tzarech bedikah. Any place where you don't bring chometz in, you don't need to search it for chometz. Uvameh omru beis churis b'mautif. So what is the scenario where the Chachamim said that you have to check two rows of wine barrels in a wine cellar? Where did they say that? Rashi says later on in the Mishnah. We have a machlokas b'shama b'shilol. The Rishonim, Sefer HaKrisos, says that what it is before Rebbe, long before Rebbe, there were versions of Mishnayos around. The Gemara mentions in Chagiga there were 600 or 700 or 700 versions of Mishnayos floating around that different Chachamim taught to their Talmidim in their own style or whatever. So in some of those collections of Mishnayos, it said the line Shnei Shuras B'Martif, that you have to check two rows of wine barrels in the wine cellar. And now the Mishnah needs to figure out, so if we're saying that a place where you don't bring in chametz, you don't have to search, why should you have to search there? Why are you bringing in chametz into a wine cellar? So the answer is Mokam Shemachnesin Bechametz. We're talking about the kind of wine cellar where you do bring in chametz. Namely, Rashi says it's the kind, we're not talking about the kind of wine cellar where you store the wine long term, let's say, for example, the cell or whatever. You're talking about the kind where you use it on an ongoing basis for wine for your table. So you send your shamash, you send your waiter or whatever down there to get wine, and he takes along his bread with him, and then therefore you have bread is being brought in there. No, we're not worried that he might drop bread into the barrel of wine. It's just that he brings bread down into the cellar, and therefore he might drop some between the barrels, right? The Alter Rebbe, by the way, makes an interesting point, which is if you're talking about a place, he learns actually that if you're talking about a place where you regularly bring in chametz, then you would have to do bedikas chametz there on a d'oraisa level, because like Rashi is saying, otherwise you're over on bal yiroa bal yimotze, because there's a high likelihood that there is chametz over there, and then you're not doing anything with it unless you mevatel it. But if it's a place where you only bring in chametz occasionally, like this wine cellar over here, then it would be midrabanan that you need to do a bedikah over there. Okay, so what when we say two rows, what do we mean by two rows? Beis Shammai says it means two rows along the whole surface of the cellar, and we're going to learn in the Gemara on Daf Ches two possibilities of what Beis Shammai means. Either they mean two whole walls of barrels one whole wall of barrels in front and one whole wall of barrels behind that. Beyond that, there's no reason to be concerned he brought in chametz because he only used the barrels from the outside walls. The other opinion in the Gemara is it means the whole front wall and the whole top layer. That's Yonis. Beis Hillel says all you need is the upper two rows, the outer two rows, which are the upper ones. Again, you have two opinions in the Gemara over there. Does it mean the top row of barrels and the one below it? Or does it mean the top row of barrels and the one behind it? Either way, Beis Hillel, of course, is more makel than Beis Shammai. So the Gemara starts off, what is the word Urlaubasa? What does the word Ur in our Mishnah mean? Rav Huna Amar Naghi, Rav Yehuda Amar Leili. Rav Huna says it means the morning. Well, it means Naghi, which usually means morning. Rav Huna Amar Leili, and Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda says it means the nighttime. What? Which Naghi, but the word Noiga means light. So kasalkadaitach, for to start the discussion, the Gemara assumes demanda amar naghi mamish, that Rav Huna, who is saying naghi, which means the light, means literally the light, means he means literally by alois hashachar of the morning of the 14th. Now, we learned in the Mishnah you have to search by candlelight, so it can't mean during the daytime of the 14th, because then it's light and a candle is not going to do you any good. So Rashi makes a point over here, Kshiyur HaShachar, Shachar's Choyah Dalid. Alois HaShachar of the 14th is what we're assuming at this point. Naghi means, so fine, it's still dark enough. It's only the sun's light is only starting to come over the horizon. It's still dark enough that a candle will help to be able to search. So it sounds like Rav Huna means literally Naghi, means literally first thing in the morning, Alois HaShachar of the 14th, Umando Amar Leile, Leile Mamash. And then Rav Yehuda, who says that it means the nighttime, means literally the nighttime, which later on, the Gemara is going to revisit that assumption on Daf Gimel, but right now that's the assumption we're starting with. You're asking, so how does Leile come to mean the nighttime? So the Gemara is going to eventually explain that he means Lishna Malya. He wants the Mishnah wanted to use a nice Lashon. Rather than starting with Leil, with darkness, the Mishnah would rather begin, especially a whole new Masechta, with Ur, with the word meaning light. But it's kind of a euphemism, in other words. With that said, though, the post can explain that from this we see that eventually, of course, we're going to say B'dikas Chametz takes place by night, as we all know, but it should be relatively early in the night when there's still a little bit of light left. In fact, yeah, many people have the minhag to do bedikas chametz between mincha ma'ariv for that reason. Our minhag is not. Our minhag is we do it after tzeis, but as soon as possible after tzeis. So now the Gemara says meisvi. In that case, the Gemara is going to now bring 15 different attempted proofs that what the word ur means, whether it means night or whether it means day. So Mesvi, we learn in the Pasuk by Yosef's brothers at the end of Parashas Miketz, Haboker Ur, it says the morning was light, Vahan Noshim Shulchu, and the men were sent away, and then they found, and then Yosef told Menashe to chase after them and find the goblet over there in Binyamin's sack. And the point is, the Gemara is assuming that the pasuk means haboker, in the morning, namely namely another name for the morning is then the men were sent away, alma yamamahu, which shows therefore that means daytime. So it's a question on Rav Yehuda, who says that it means nighttime. The answer is no. Miksiv ha'ur boker. After all, does the pasuk say ha'ur boker, which would imply then that you're saying that the word is a noun, that not a noun, either way it's going to be a noun, but that that it means daytime. The daytime, specifically in the morning, then he sent them away. No, ha'boker urksiv. No, it says ha'boker where therefore the word is not a noun, it's a verb. Namely, commander Omert Safra Nohar. So it means Haboker the morning became light. In other words, not we're assuming the word we assumed in the question that the word was a noun, and therefore it means the morning. Now we're saying no, it means a verb. The morning became light. It became lightened up. And therefore, like people say, commander Omert Safra Nohar, like the expression people say, the morning has become lit up. V'chidr Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, in which case the pasuk is teaching us, like what Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, the Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, la'olam yikonis adam b'kitov, v'yetze b'kitov. A person should always go into the city while it's kitov, while the sun is still shining, and the light is called tov, v'yara l'kimas ha'or kitov, and leave the yetzib kitov, and leave only when kitov, only when it's light out. Which the good of it is, then Rashi says, the good of it is then you're safe from wild animals, you're safe from robbers. There's in fact a story in a medrash where a mayor, in Reb Meir's times, there was a certain innkeeper who people would stay over by him by night. Then during the nighttime, he would convince them to go and start leaving. This way you'll get a head start on your trip rather than first going in the morning. And then he and his accomplices would rob them. So Reb Meir one time stayed by this place and was smarter. So when the guy comes in the middle of the night, Reb Meir tells him, "I'm waiting for my brother Kitov." The guy says, "Where is your brother?" He says, "He's in shul." So the guy goes to the shul and starts calling out, "Kitov, your brother Reb Meir is waiting for you." Nothing doing, of course. So by the time the morning comes, it's too late. You know, his accomplices have hidden away for the day. So he asks Reb Meir he says, what the pasuk says, "Vayara lekimas or kitov." That pasuk is in the shul in the Sefer Torah. I realize what you're doing over here, and therefore I wasn't gonna be attracted by your schemes. Anyway. The point is, Rashi says that we learn from the pasuk when it says haboker that they waited until the east sky was light before they actually left. They didn't leave in the middle of the night, or they didn't leave, but by Elois HaShachar or whatever, because it would be dangerous. Tosfos says that actually it's not a continuation, really. The Gemara just said, okay, haboker means safra nahar. Incidentally, the Gemara wants to mention that, so why does the pasuk need to tell us that? Because it tells us that we should learn to only leave, but to come in by day and leave by day. The point is, the word over there does not mean the daytime, so it's not a stira to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that in our Mishnah means nighttime. Okay, maybe the Gemara says, I have another contradiction. A pasuk says at the end of Shmuel Beis, David HaMelech is saying a short nevuah about what happens to the tzaddikim and rishoyim in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Like the which is the morning, the sun shines. So again, we assume Alma Yamamahu. It sounds like the word means the daytime. And again, that would be a question if we say that in our Mishnah means the nighttime. Again, the Gemara says, Miksiv Burker. No, because it doesn't say Burker. Before, in the previous one, we said that if it had said Burker, then we would have said that yes, the word means nighttime, means daytime. Now we do have the word before Burker, but it doesn't say Burker. It says Vicha Ucha Burker, and light of the sun, of the morning, meaning. So again, the word over here does not mean daytime, it means light. Like the light of the morning in Olam Hazeh, that will be the kind of light that the tzaddikim will have la'asid lavoi. In other words, Rashi says like this, Ucha'ur Berker means when the sun first starts shining, namely Alois HaShachar. So when Mashiach comes, then the light of the light that will be by Alois HaShachar will be as intense as the Netzachama of now. Or Tosfos says even more than that, even of the light that you have later on in the morning, the first 6 hours in the morning, when the light of the sun is intensely strong, you'll have that by Alois HaShachar already, because we know, we say in Kiddush Levana, that the sun's light will be intensely stronger than it is now. So again, the Gemara had thought that a Chor Boker, like the light, like the daytime, namely the morning, that's how the sun will shine for the tzaddikim. And we're saying that no, the word Ur in that pasuk means light. It doesn't mean daytime. Okay, Mesvi, the Gemara says, I have another contradiction. Right in my Bereishis, it says, Vayikra Lekim La Ur Yoim, Hashem called the Ur day, Alma Ur Yomamahu. So you see the word Ur means day. The answer is no. Hachika Amar, no, because the pasuk doesn't mean the noun, Ur, which is day, it means the verb becoming light. As it's becoming light, that's already considered the daytime. Meaning from Alois HaShachar, you already have light coming into the sky. So already at that point, it's considered day lahalocha from Alois HaShachar. So the Gemara asks, Elameyata, by that logic, if that's how you're understanding the pasuk, what about V'lachoshech kora loyla? The pasuk continues, to the dark he called night. Are you going to say it means the same thing, L'machshech uvah kora loyla? As it's becoming dark, it's already called night lahalocha. No, V'hokayim alon da'ad tzeisek achavim yamamu. We know that the lahalocha, up until tzeisek achavim, is still considered daytime. So fine, when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, fine, we have the suffix when exactly Tzeisek HaChavim is, so therefore we start by Shkia, because you may have a very short, you may have Bein HaShmoshes between Shkia and Tzeis, maybe very, very short. But in principle, daytime lasts until Tzeisek HaChavim. Rashi refers us to the Gemara all the way at the beginning of Brachas that mentions that point, that until Tzeisek HaChavim is considered daytime, therefore, for example, the Kohenim can't eat Truma, the Kohenim or Tame can't eat Truma until that point, you can't say Krishma until that point. As you go closer to the equator, as you go closer to the equator, Bein HaShmoshes is going to be shorter and shorter. That's true, yeah. So the point is, so obviously, V'lachoshech kora loyla can't mean from when it starts becoming dark, namely by Shkia is already considered night, because that's not the case. It's only from Tzeisek HaChavim that's considered night. So therefore, La'ur Yoim can't mean La'meir Bokro Yoim. It can't mean as it's becoming light from Alois HaShachar, it's already considered day. So what does the pasuk mean? So the answer is no. What the pasuk means is when we say vayikra, we always translate as kids vayikra lekim la'or yom. Hashem called the light day. In other words, Hashem named it. The pasuk is describing how Hashem named it. Now the Gemara is saying that's not what it means. Carrier Rachmana l'nahora means Hashem called like a king calls to his servants. He called the light upakde amitzvasa diyamama and commanded it on the mitzvah of the day. He commanded it. Your job is to serve by day. V'lachoshech kora loyla is v'carrier Rachmana l'chashoycha. Hashem called the darkness before him like a king summoning a servant. And commanded it, your job is your commandment from me is to serve by night. So we see that Ur over there again doesn't mean daytime, it means the light. Hashem summoned the light and put it in charge that your job is to shine during the day. That doesn't mean that the word Ur itself means daytime. It means the word light, it doesn't mean daytime. Yeah. By the way, the Pnei Yeshua brings an interesting point. He says, this is a pasuk from Bereishis, why we first bring Psukim from Yosef's brothers in Parashas Miketz and from Shmuel. And he explains, the one from Yosef's brothers we bring first because later on Daf Zayin, when we get to the discussion how we know that B'dikas Chametz is supposed to use a candle, the Gemara is going to bring in the search that it says that Menashe did among the brothers' bags. It's going to bring in that pasuk as one of the psukim that in a chain of psukim that tell us that B'dikas Chametz has to be done with a candle. Therefore, the Gemara wanted to bring that one first. And once it did, it also brings the one from Shmuel, because there you have the Ur Boker versus Boker Ur thing. Afterwards, it goes to the one from Chumash, but from Parshas Bereishis. Okay. Next, Mesvi, the Gemara says, we have another contradiction. In Tilim, Halleluhu kol koichve Ur, praise Hashem, all stars of Ur. Now, when do the stars shine? Mostly at night. Alma Ur Urtahu. So wouldn't that mean that Ur means the nighttime? So all this time we've been bringing attempted proofs that Ur means the daytime. Now we have for the first time one that it seems that it means the nighttime. So what is Rav Huna going to do with that? The answer is no. Again, the word ur doesn't mean daytime, doesn't mean nighttime. It means light. So praise Hashem, all stars that shine, that give light. The problem with that is elamayata. So by that logic, what do you mean? Only the stars that give light have to praise Hashem. Does that mean that the stars that don't give light don't have to praise Hashem? In the same capital, we say, praise Hashem, all of his hosts, meaning everything, whether they give light or not. By the way, from our Gemara, we might see that we're talking about black holes, brown dwarfs, other kinds of stars like that, or former stars that don't give light, because the Gemara is mentioning over here stars that don't give light. Anyway, so that's not what it means. Obviously, even the stars that don't give light still praise Hashem, because they're still created by him. So what does Hallelujah Kol Koch Ve'Ur mean? Ela Hok Mashmalan. No, rather, we can answer the word Ur in that pasuk is meant to teach us that the word, it still means light, but it means that the light of the stars, Nami Urhu, is also considered light in Halacha. L'may nafkamina, what's the practical outcome of that? L'noda mina Ur. Suppose a person makes a neder not to benefit from light. D'tnan, or D'tanya really it's supposed to be, if a person makes a neder not to benefit from light, then he's also not allowed to benefit from the light of the stars. You shouldn't think that that's considered a different kind of light and it's not included in his neder. No, we still go based on the pasuk over here that it calls them koich ve'ur, then we see that the light of them is considered light. Tosfos points out actually that if Loshen B'nai Adam is different, if you have in a particular place where they use a different word for starlight, then you're right, it wouldn't be included in his neder. We're talking about over here where he's using the Loshen Aposik, or in a place where Ur means everything, then yeah, it includes the light of the stars as well. The Noda B'Yehuda has an interesting thing about this in his Pirush over here, the Tzlach on Psochim, and also in a Truva that he has with Rabbi Shaya Pick, who wrote most of the Masoras Hashas and another number of other notes on the Gemara that we have. He says the Tnan over here in the Gemara is certainly wrong. This is not a Mishnah anywhere. It's not even a Braisa. He says that actually, so Rabbi Shaya had asked him, how come we don't find this din anywhere in the poskim? We never find anywhere in the halachas of Nedarim, in Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, anywhere this concept that light includes the halacha, the light of the stars. So the Noda B'Yehuda answers him because the Gemara is only using that over here as part of the Havam. You know, we're still in the middle of the discussion trying to figure out whether the word Ur in our Mishnah means nighttime or day. Therefore, the Gemara is going back and forth with all these proofs. Once we establish that there's actually no machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Bas Hashem, they both agree B'dikas Chametz takes place by night, then we don't need this answer. Then we can say the word Ur means exactly what it sounds like. It means the stars that shine at Ur, namely at night. And therefore, we don't need this answer anymore about the light of the stars, and therefore the poskim didn't bring it lahalacha. Okay. The Gemara says, Mesvi, I have another contradiction. A pasuk says in Eov, the pasuk is describing the dura mabul and the stealing and the other averus that they did. Lo ur yokum retzeach. During the ur, the retzeach gets up. And Bapashtus, it sounds like ur means well. One second, it sounds like it means the daytime because the pasuk continues of alayla. So it sounds like it means in the morning, in the daytime, the retzeach gets up. Yiktal oni ve'ebi, and he kills the poor and needy people. Uv alayla yehi kaganov, and then at night he is like a ganov. Meaning during the daytime, he goes and robs people in public. And then at night, he goes and breaks into people's houses. So it sounds like the word Ur means daytime. Since the pasuk continues that at night, he is like a ganav, alma Ur yamamahu. That seems to show that Ur means the daytime, for contrast. The answer is no. The Gemara says no. No, what the pasuk wants to tell you by using the word la'ur, it doesn't mean daytime versus nighttime. It means the word ur in that pasuk again means light, not daytime. But what it means is like this. Now we have a concept. We have a concept in halacha called baba machteres. The pasuk tells us in Parashas Mishpatim, im ba machteres yimotzei aganav. If you find a ganav in machteres, in a tunnel that he's digging to break into a house, v'huk of a mace, and the balabos strikes him and kills him, ein loy damim. He's not guilty for blood because You have the usual assumption when a ganav comes like that from Machteres, he expects, he knows that the balabas is likely to stand up against him. The ganav has in mind in that case, I'm ready to kill or be killed. So therefore, he's been mafkir his own life, and therefore you're allowed to kill him. It's a subset sort of a balahogcha hashkin bahogah. He's coming to kill you, therefore you're allowed to preemptively kill him first. On the other hand, the next pasuk continues in Mishpatim over there. Im zorcha olav hashemesh, if the sun shone on him, which means not literally that the sun shines on him. It means that you have a, Rashi explains on the pasuk, if it's as clear to you as the sunshine that this person is not intending to kill you. Namely, for example, you have, let's say a father is breaking into his son's house. A normal father is going to have rachmonos on his child. He may try to steal from him because he's desperate, but he's not going to go and kill him. So therefore, that's the kind of case where it's obvious that he's not coming for dinin nefashis. He's obviously not coming to kill. He's only coming to steal. And if he sees that you're standing up against him, he's just going to run away. So therefore, you don't have the right to kill him. Then domim loy. Then the pasuk says if the balabas kills him, then he is chayev for killing another yid. So therefore, so our pasuk here in Eov is telling us the same thing. If it's as clear to you as the light, again, or over here means not daytime, but light, that this person is coming, al iske nefoshes, where he's coming, where he intends, if you try to stand up against him, then he's going to kill you. Then as the pasuk continues, the retzeach will get up, meaning you can consider him a retzeach, and therefore you can save him from doing the Avera, even at the cost of his life. The expression Latzila Benafshe, it's not so much that the Torah is not saying you get to save yourself. It's more like you get to save him from the consequences of his Avera by killing him. That's only if there's only if it's clear that he's coming out of the skin of fascists. The im is sapkalach milsekalelia, but if it's a suffix to you like the night, which is a confused time, this person might be somebody that is not intending to harm you, namely that he's your father and he has rachmanus on you, and therefore even if you stand up to and try to save your money and your stuff from him, he won't kill you. He'll run away. So then you're not allowed. So then yibe necha kaganav. Then you should treat him like a ganav, meaning v'loin litan latzila benafshay. You're not allowed to save him from that avera by killing him. There are only certain averas that you're allowed to save a person from doing it by killing him. Ritzicha is one of them. Gilui arayis is another one. But not gneva. So therefore, if you know that he's like a, or if you have reason to think that he might be like a ganav, only then you're not allowed to kill him. So in other words, the pasuk in Eov is expressing, in other words, the same din as the pasuk in Mishpatim. Tosfos over here learns a little bit differently, by the way, that the vort is even among a father and a son. You can have, there's a normal father who won't kill a son, but unfortunately you have out there people who are not like that. So if you had, so you could even have, if you know for a fact that this, if the son knows for a fact that this, that his particular father has no rachmanas on him and is going to kill him, then yes, he's allowed to do that as well. Anyway, the point is, again, that the word ur in that pasuk doesn't mean the daytime, as we thought that the word ur is a contrast to Lila, rather it means light. If you have a lighted situation where you know clearly what the situation is, versus you have a nighttime situation where it's muddy and it's not so clear what the situation is. Okay. Nesvi, the Gemara says, okay, I have another contradiction from another pasuk in Eov. When early in Sefer Eov, Eov is complaining about all the disasters that befell him, and he says the pasuk yechshu koich v'nishba. He's talking about the night, the day and the night when he was conceived, when he was born. Yechshu koich v'nishba. May the stars of its night be dark. Yikav la'ur v'ayin. May he or it the day hope for the ur, which sounds like it means the daytime, because again, Neshef means the night. So Ur then, by contrast, would be the day. Yakavla Ur v'ayin, he should look forward to the morning, to the daytime, and it won't be there. V'al yira ba'af ape shochar, may it not see the glow of the dawn. So we see, so midkom yakavla Ur v'ayin, since it says that he should hope for the Ur and it won't come, alma Ur yamamahu. So that seems to mean that the word Ur means daytime. Because again, by contrast with Nishba, the answer is no. Hasa mela to the kolayet le'ir l'mazli. Nishba means the darkness. So it means the darkness of the nighttime. So yechshechu koich v'nishba, may the stars that shine at night of that day be dark. Yekav la'ur v'ayin, may it look forward to the ur, the pastures, meaning the morning, and it won't be there. Because in other words, it'll be dark. So we see the word ur means morning. The answer is no. Hasam mela to the kolayet le'iyev l'mazli. The answer is what Iyev is expressing in those psukim is he's cursing his mazel. But Omar, he's saying, Yehei Rava, may it be Hashem's will, the litzbe hach gavril nahora, that person, meaning myself, should look forward to light. So again, the word or over here doesn't mean morning or daytime. It means light. And he shouldn't be able to find any. So your kavla urva ayin doesn't mean that he should hope for the day, but he should hope for the light, and there won't be any light because it'll be dark. There won't be any light because it will be dark. But in other words, the word ur in that pasuk doesn't mean morning or daytime. It means light. That I should be looking forward to light, and I won't find any because I feel like the whole world is dark to me right now. So again, the word ur there means light. So no contradiction if we say in our Mishnah that ur means the nighttime. He wants the bad times to go away, but right now he's cursing his mazel. He's saying that halavai, I'd be in permanent darkness and never see light again because I'm so miserable. Yeah. Okay. What about Mesvi, a pasuk in Tehillim? David HaMelech says, "Va'omer ach choshech yishufeni." I had said that I thought the darkness would yishufeni, would constantly be dark to me. Again, the same word neshef as we had in the pasuk in Iyov. So, va'omer, I said, "Ach choshech yishufeni." Only the darkness will be dark for me. V'laila ur ba'adeni, the light. But the nighttime, the Lila, but the nighttime, Ur Ba'adeni became morning for me. So it sounds like there the word Ur means day. The night became the day. In other words, I unexpectedly, Hashem helped me from my troubles. So you see that the word Ur means daytime. The Alma Ur Yamamahu, so you see that the word Ur means daytime. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam Hachikama David. No, that's not what the Pasuk means. David is expressing in the Pasuk like this. Ani Amarti. I thought after the whole story with Bathsheba in particular, because of the Avera or semi-Avera or whatever that he had done with Bathsheba, I thought, Ani Amarti, Ach Choshech Yishofeni La'olam Abba, Shehu Doma L'Yoyim. I thought that the darkness is going to be permanently darkening me in Olam Haba, where Olam Haba is like the daytime compared to Olam Hazeh is the night, because everything is confused and muddy. Olam Haba is like the daytime because everything is crystal clear. So I thought that there was going to be permanent darkness for me in Olam Haba, that I'm going to lose my place in Olam Haba. But achshav, but now that Hashem forgave me for that Avera, ha'olam hazeh, shu doma l'layla, even in Olam Hazeh, which is like the night where everything is unclear, ur ba'adeni, there is light for me. Again, the word ur in the pasuk doesn't mean morning, it means light. Meaning, Rashi says, eventually, after David passed away, Hashem showed publicly in Olam Hazeh that he had forgiven David for the Avera involving Bathsheba. You have the famous thing over there where the Kohenim are bringing the Aron in to the Bais Mikdash in Shloima's times, and the doors kept closed and wouldn't open until Shloima Davin bring it in the Schus of David, and then the doors opened up. So that demonstrated publicly to everybody that Hashem had forgiven David. So that's David is expressing that in this pasuk, V'laila ur ba'adeni, that in the darkness of Olam Hazeh, there's still light for in the night of Olam Hazeh, there's still light for me that Hashem publicly showed that he forgave me for that Avera. So the word ur means light in that pasuk. It doesn't necessarily mean daytime. We thought the lila ur, the contrast is between night and day. Now we're saying no, the contrast is that within the night of Olam Hazeh itself, you have light. You have a point where Hashem clearly shows what's going on over here, that David was right and his enemies were wrong in accusing him. Well, it was during the daytime, but that we don't mean the actual physical daytime. We mean that David is saying that in Olam Hazeh, where the whole Olam Hazeh, day and night, is like Lila, because we don't see Elikus clearly, but now Hashem showed clearly that and vindicated me. Okay. So now the Gemara has gone through seven different attempted proofs from Psukim about the word Ur. Most of them were to try and prove that the word Ur means daytime. And one of them was to show that it means nighttime. And every one of them we showed that no, the word Ur in that pasuk is either a verb meaning becoming light, or it means the noun light, but not the noun daytime. Now we're going to go through several proofs from Mishnayos and Braisis. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, I have another contradiction. Later on in our perek, we say, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Boidkin Ur La'arba Aser, you have to do B'dikas Chametz on the Ur of the 14th, Uva Arba Aser Shachris, and on the morning of the 14th, Uva Shasa Bir, and at the time of Bir Chametz. Later on, we're going to see in the Gemara, whether does Rabbi Yehuda mean you have to do three times Bir Chametz, or does he just mean if you missed it the first time, then you have to do it the second time, and if you missed it the second time, then you have to do it the third time, and so forth. We'll get into that later in the perek. The point is, if Rabbi Yehuda is using the expression that you have to check on Ur Arba Aser and Arba Aser in the morning, Alma Ur Urtahu. So that should show that the word Ur means the nighttime, because then it makes sense. Rabbi Yehuda is saying you have to do B'dikas Chametz the night going into the 14th and on the morning of the 14th. So that makes sense. But if you say that Ur means the daytime, then what are you doing? Why are you doing two B'dikas one after the other in the morning? So doesn't that show that Ur means the nighttime? So the Gemara says, you're right, Shmamina, that does prove it. That does prove that the word Ur in that Mishnah means the nighttime. The Pnei Yeshua says, by the way, because the point is, he says, there's no reason to, if you didn't do B'dikas Chametz by night, there's no particular reason to assume that you should be doing it stam at a random time in the morning. After all, the whole point is you're supposed to do it by night in order that a candle will be effective. If you do it during the daytime, a candle is not going to do you any good because it's light out. So therefore, it has to be that. So if we were going to say that Ur means Aloysa Shachar, as Rabbi Huda is saying over here, or rather as Rav Huna is saying over here, Rav Huna is saying Nagi, and we assume that means Aloysa Shachar, then there's no sense in doing it at Aloysa Shachar, and then again later in the morning when it's already light time, when it's already light. As opposed to if you say that it means by night when it's dark, then it makes sense again, Rabbi Huda could be saying you do it at Aloysa Shachar when it's still fairly dark out. We're going to talk about that later in the perek. We're going to talk about that din of what happens if a person didn't do B'dikas Chametz by night. We'll get to that point later in the perek, but yeah. Okay, so therefore, so that shows that Ur has to be the nighttime, because if Ur meant Aloysa Shachar, then there's no sense in saying that you're going to do B'dikas Chametz later on. You could say, okay, the next time to do it would be at Shasa Bir, at the time when you actually have to get rid of the remaining Chametz in your possession, but there's no sense in doing it sometime at some random time in between when it's neither nighttime, so it's not dark enough for a candle to have effect, and it's not Shasa Bir. So obviously, by elimination, Ur has to be the night. Okay, even though the Gemara has brought a proof, we're still going to continue with more attempted proofs, either because, so some of the Mefarshim say, because the Gemara didn't want to just have a proof from one place, we wanted to see if we can prove from more places. The Maharam Chalava, who was a Rishon in Spain, he was, I think, a Talmud of the Rashba, he wrote a Pirush on Gemara. Unfortunately, all we have from his Pirush is his Pirush on Psachim, but he writes that these various questions and answers that the Gemara is bringing over here were not necessarily all asked in one Beis Medrash. They were asked in the different Bate Medrash and the different yeshivas around Eretz Yisrael and Babel. Eventually, Ravina and Ravashi collected them into the Gemara as we have it. So in one yeshiva, they brought up this one and they said it proves it. But nevertheless, Ravina and Ravashi still want to bring in the rest of the questions and the answers that were brought up in various yeshivas on this. So Meisvi, the Gemara says, I'm another contradiction.
Question.
Yeah.
Does that all the discussion? This discussion implies that if you do B'dikas Chametz, let's say very early in the morning, you're not Yosi.
So we're gonna get to that point. You have to do B'dikas Chametz by night. The mitzvah is to do it. The mitzvah's chachamim is to do it at the beginning of the night, Ur La'arba'. So we're gonna end up saying that even Rav Huna, who used the word Nagi, doesn't actually mean Aloysa Shachar. If you didn't do it at the night, then we're going to talk about later on what the dinim are, when you're supposed to do B'dikas Chametz, when you can say it with a bracha, when you can't. We're going to get to all those points over the next few days, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, so the Gemara says, Meisvi, I have a contradiction. Later on in our Masechta, we're going to learn about the dinim of doing Melacha on Erev Pesach. The point is, that the Gemara mentions, you have like this. Now, Erev Pesach afternoon, you're also to do Malacha, because that was the time when they brought the Korban Pesach, and therefore it's like a mini Yomtiv. What about the morning? What about the morning? So there you have different minhagim. The fourth parak of our Masechta is going to begin by discussing the matter of minhagim, that in some places they had the minhag not to do malacha the morning of your Dalad Nissen, and in other places they didn't. So the Brisa says, may a Messiah bo also basias malacha. From what point on is it also to do malacha on the 14th? According to Rashi, we're talking about in a place where Noagu, where they have the minhag to not do malacha by day. So the question is, what point of the day does that begin? Tosfa says that no, we're talking about in places where they don't do malacha by day, but the question is, does it apply to the night before also? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Mishasa Ur. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says from the time of Ur, which here's where we're bringing it in. Does the word Ur mean the night or the day? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishasa Netzachama. Rabbi Yehuda says it begins from Netzachama, and the Brisa continues Omalei Rabbi Elazar ben from Netzachama of the morning of the 14th. But we have to figure out what Mishasa Ur, what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Mishasa Ur means. That's what we're gonna. So let's finish the Brisa, and then we'll have it more clearly. Omalei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean it begins only at net? V'chi heichan matzinu yoyim shemiktsase mut aser ba'asiyas malacha or miktsase mutar ba'asiyas malacha? Where do you ever find such a concept that you should have a day where within that day itself, part of the day is also to do malacha and part of it is mutter? In other words, we said on Amud Aleph, the day begins by Alois HaShachar. So it's logical to say that you begin, that the Issu Malacha begins from Alois HaShachar, or maybe even from the night before. Why should it begin at Netzachama, which is already some time into the day? So therefore, it has to mean earlier. Amalei, and Rabbi Yehuda answers him, Hu Atzma Yechiach. Nu, answer it, prove it from... prove it from Erev Pesach itself. Shemiktsase mutter ba'achilas chametz, shemiktsase also ba'achilas chametz. Nu, and on Erev Pesach itself, part of the day you're allowed to eat chametz, part you're not. So you see there can be a distinction within a day itself. Why can't there be a distinction within a day itself between when you can do malacha and when you can't? So, midka amar Rabbi Yehuda mishas ha'netzachama. So since Rabbi Yehuda is saying from netzachama, alma ur deka amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov ur tohu. Shouldn't that mean, therefore, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it means from the night of the 13th. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, I hold, whenever you have an Issur Malacha, you never have an Issur Malacha that begins only by day, even by Alois HaShachar. You always have, if there's going to be an Issur Malacha, Shabbos, Yom Tov, etc., it always begins the night before. Where do you ever have that it should begin during the day? So you see that in his words, means the nighttime, L'chora. The answer is no. Loi, that's not what he means. My Omer HaShachar. No, by the word he could mean Alois HaShachar. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that the Issur of Malacha begins at Alois HaShachar, and Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that it begins at Netzachama, which is a little while later. Well, that's the Gemara is going to ask. Ihochi de ka'omole. So if so, if you're going to understand Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to be saying that the Issur Malacha begins by Alois HaShachar, but the night before you're allowed to do Malacha, even according to him, if you're going to understand it that way, what do you mean? De ka'omole, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, Heichan matzinu yoyim shemaktsase mutar ba'asiyas malacha or maktsase osa ba'asiyas malacha. Where do you ever find that there's a division within a day itself, and a day in Halacha begins the night before? So if he means that it only begins by Alois HaShachar, what kind of a question is that? Neima ihu l'nafshei. Let Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say, I have to understand my own svara then. Ha'ika laila de kashari. After all, you have the night, which is mutter. So if Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov means that the Issur Malacha begins the night before, then okay, it makes sense. He's saying to Rabbi Yehuda, whenever you have an Issur Malacha, like on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it always begins the night before. So there's no basis for you saying it should begin only at Netzachama. And so therefore, we would say that Ur means the nighttime. But if he's saying that it begins only at Alois HaShachar, where do you ever find an Issur Malacha that begins at Alois HaShachar? Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Issur Malacha begins the night before. So then the same question that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was asking on Rabbi Yehuda, he could be asking on himself. The answer is no. Hachikamar. No, the answer is Rabbi Elazar, we could still say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's Ur does mean Alois HaShachar. And like this, Hochikamar, he's saying to Rabbi Yehuda like this, Bishleim al-Didi. according to me, that I'm saying that the Isur Malacha begins at Alois HaShachar of Erev Pesach. So according to me, it's well understandable. Ashkachna de Kapalgi Rabbanan ben Yimam Lelelya. We do find a different context where the Chachamim make a distinction between day and night. The Tanan, Gabit or the Tanya, really, Gabit Tainis Tzibur, we learn in a Braisa regarding a Tainis Tzibur. Now you have, there's different sets of tiniest tzibur that they do when there's no rain or whatever. Some of them are more lenient and they begin only in the morning, like we have with Shivas B'Tammuz and Asara B'Tevis and the rest of those. And then some of them begin the night before, like Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So the ones that begin in the morning, it says, Ad Masai Ochel V'Shoisa, up until what point are you allowed to eat and drink? Ad Shiyala Omer HaShachar, Divir Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, the same Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, says, until Alois HaShachar, Rebbe Shimon Omer Ad Kureis HaGever. And Rebbe Shimon says, until the rooster crows, which is closer to Netzach Hamah. The point being, in other words, that there you see that when it comes to Tainis Tzibur, when it comes to the Isur Derabbanan of eating on a Tainis Tzibur, then yes, it begins only at Alois HaShachar. So it's sensible enough to say that you should start at Alois HaShachar. Ela Lidach, but he continues to Rabbi Yehuda, according to you, Heichash Gachna Yemama Gufe, where do we find within the day itself, again, from Alois HaShachar, or fine, from Kreis HaGever, which is between Alois HaShachar and Netzach Hamah, fine, from then begins the day, but where do you find within the day itself, the Pauge Beit Rabbanan, that the Chum make a distinction, that you should say that the Isur begins only at Netzach Hamah, which is later than Alois HaShachar. So in other words, once we understand Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that way, then yes, what he's saying does in fact mean the early morning. It doesn't mean the night. So he's arguing that the Isur should begin from Alois HaShachar, just like the Isur of eating on a Tainis Tzibur begins from Alois HaShachar. And he's saying to Rabbi Yehuda, how could you be saying from a Netzach Hamah? So then the question is, so the Gemara continues, the Braisa had said, Omalei hu atzma yechiyach. So Rabbi Yehuda answers, I can prove to you, you have a distinction between a day itself from Erev Pesach itself. After all, you're allowed to eat chametz part of the day and you're not allowed to part of the day. So obviously you see that within a day itself, there can be a distinction. So no problem in saying that the Isur Malacha also begins later in the day, namely by Netzach Hamah. So the Gemara says, Shapir Kamalei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda has a very good argument. What is Rabbi Eliezer going to answer to that? He knows that there's a distinction within Erev Pesach itself as far as chametz. The answer is, Hochi Kamalei Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will answer him. What's the comparison? Amina loch ano melocha derabbanan. I'm telling you a din about melacha, which is only derabbanan, and when the chachamim make a takana, they have to make it sensible. They have to make it something that works apitam badas. So therefore, it's not logical to distinguish between before nets and after nets, where we never find such a distinction as far as melacha or as far as eating or anything anywhere else. The at amrit li chametz daraisa. You're telling me from chametz daraisa, it's exeris hakosev. The ad hocha osir achmona, the ad hocha shara achmona. Up until this point, the Torah said is osir, from is mutter. From here on, the Torah says it's also xeris hakosev. It doesn't need to have a reason. So how is that a proof for malacha, where when the chachamim are making a takana, the takana has to make sense? The answer is the idach. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would answer, listen, shoyis derabanan. We're going to learn later on in the perek, midaraisa, you're allowed to eat chametz until chatzos hayom of Erev Pesach, but midarabanan, we're not allowed to eat until 2 hours before that, the end of 4 hours of the day, and you have to burn the chametz before the end of 5 hours of the day. So you have an hour, 2 hours that the chachamim imposed. So there you have the chachamim said, part of the day, yes, part of the day, not. So the same thing could work over here. That's how we do, of course, yeah. So the idach, so what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He would say, oh, that's different. Halchoko hu da'ovad rabbanon l'daraisa. Okay, once you have a basic din daraisa, which again, it's gzeres hakosav, it doesn't need a reason that we can understand to distinguish between before and after chatzos, then the chachamim put a gzera on it to be on the safe side, because we're going to learn in the perek, it might be a cloudy day, you might not know exactly what time it is, and therefore the chachamim put on a cushion. But to say to begin with, to have a pure thing, drabanan, that we should say, we distinguish between part of a day, yes, and part of a day, not, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, we never find that. Erev Shabbos, what about it? I mean, you're allowed to do malacha the whole Erev Shabbos. You have. You're supposed to. You certain kinds of malachas, you have to stop before. No, well, that's a night already. Night is different. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, so if we understand the Braisa that way, then doesn't mean the nighttime. Can in fact mean Alois HaShachar. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is arguing that the Isser Malacha begins from Alois HaShachar, and Rabbi Yehuda argues it begins from Netz. But on the other hand, we could say, after all, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does mean the night, and then Rabbi Yehuda is saying the daytime, Netzachama. So there's no proof one way or the other. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, here I have another contradiction about this quest, to say whether Ur means day or night. The Mishnah, Braisa says, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah describes how in earlier times, once Beis Din was Mekadesh the Chodesh, they would light bonfires, they would light torches, and do a relay of signals from one mountain to another in order to inform the Jewish people all over Eretz Yisrael and in Babel when Rosh Chodesh is, so they know when the Yom Tovim are. And the Braisa says, Ein Masin Masois, they don't light these torches, El Al Chodesh Nidabiz Manoi, only when the moon was seen in its time, meaning the evening, after the 29th of the month, Lekadshoi, and then when Beis Din is Mekadesh the Chodesh, meaning, in other words, if it was a 30-day month, they would not light the torches that month. If it was a month when the moon is not visible, the evening after the 29th, or when Adim didn't show up on the day of the 30th, then they wouldn't do the Masoi. So the Gemara explains in Rosh Hashanah why the system worked that way, why they Dafka did it that way. The Emasai Masi and Masoi, when do they light the torches? They can't do it by day because torches are not going to be visible from a distance by day. Lo'ur Iburai, the night of the Ibru, meaning the night following the 30th. In other words, once in a while you can happen that the Edim see the Levana the evening of the 29th, shortly before Shkia, and Beis Din still has the ability to gather together and listen to the Edim and be Mekadesh Lachodesh right then and there. Usually that's not how it happened, though. Usually by the time the Edim come to Beis Din, it's already nighttime and you can't be Mekadesh Lachodesh at night. So what would happen? They'd see the Levana the night after the 29th. The morning of the 30th, they'd come to Beis Din and testify. Beis Din would check them out. They'd be Mekadesh the Chodesh. It's now not the 30th of the Chodesh. It's the first of the new Chodesh. That night, they would light the Masois, and that way everybody knows, oh, tonight is not the second night of Rosh Chodesh. Tonight, Rosh Chodesh is over, and we know that tomorrow is already Beis LaChodesh. So that's how the system would work. The point is, when we say La'ur Iburai, Alma Ur Urtahu, so that shows the word Ur means nighttime. The Gemara says, you're right, Shmamina, that proves it. The word Ur cannot possibly mean Alois HaShachar. In fact, one of the Mephoshim, I think the Pnei Yeshua says, it can't even, I mean, it's true, at Alois HaShachar, you could still see torches, but it takes time until you see the torch, and then you light the next one and continue. You would never finish that before Netzachama. So necessarily, it has to mean they did it by night. Okay, Meisvi, the Gemara says, I have another contradiction. A Braisa says, now we know there's the concept of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, the Koyanim have to be Mekadesh, their hands and feet from the Kiyo every day before they do the Avodah. And so a Mishnah says, Hoya Oymed Kol Alayla U'Makrav Al HaMizbeach, suppose that a Koyan was standing and bringing Korbanos all night on the Mizbeach. What you have the leftover fats and limbs of the Korbanos that are burnt on the Mizbeach. So suppose a Koyan is doing that the whole night. La'ura Ton Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that when it comes to Oda, when it comes to morning, then he needs to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim again. The fact that he was up all night doesn't help it. Rebbe holds once the morning comes, it passels his previous Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and he needs to do it again. The Chum disagree, but in Zvachim, there's a sugya about why it is, about why Rebbe holds this way and why the Chachamim. Be that as it may, the Braisi uses the word Oda, and clearly it means the morning. The answer is Oda shiny. It's different than the word Oda. Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that the word Oira means the daytime. He's just arguing the word Ur in our Mishnah without the hay means nighttime. So this is, well, the Gemara is going to continue. We're going to continue tomorrow with a few more attempted proofs one way or the other. And eventually the Gemara is going to conclude that there's no question that Ur means the nighttime. And then we're going to re-understand what Rav Huna and what Rabbi Yehuda are saying. And from that, we're going to get into a little bit of Agadta about the importance of using proper language, of using Lashon Nekiyah. Because ultimately, that's why. Why is the Mishnah not starting clearly with the word Lele? Because we don't want to start off with something negative like the nighttime. Therefore, we begin with the word Ur. I saw an interesting vote on that. Why does the Gemara make a point of doing that Stavka at the beginning of Pesachim? One meaning, there's a drosha on the word Pesach that it, besides the meaning that means jumping over, because Pesach Abate Abisenu, it also is related to the words Pesach, a mouth that speaks, because that's the whole point of Pesach, the Gad Telavincha. So more than any other Masechta, more than any other mitzvah, we want to make sure to stress, to begin with, the importance of speaking properly because that's a prerequisite in order to have your Pesach from Mitzrayim. In fact, it's also brought in Sforim. I think it's brought in Chassidus as well. That paroi is, can the letters of the word paroi can be arranged, can be rearranged, pera, a bad mouth. So we have to overcome, we have to get rid of the pera and instead bring in the Pesach. So therefore, the more Pesach means speaking. So a mouth that speaks. Yeah. So more than any other yomtov, more than any other mitzvah, we have to stress at the beginning of the Masechta the importance of getting rid of the pera and replacing it with the Pesach. And therefore, Davka, this Masechta, begins with this whole discussion, which leads into Lashon, which leads into the importance of Lashon Nekiya. I'm over there. Shkayach, everyone.
Cross cover.